Brother Roger called me about 7:30, quarter of eight, and told me that he couldn't speak and to cover him. Well, my message today is on what if he would have told you that? Wouldn't have that made you do what? Worry. Well, believe it or not, I was put into that circumstance more than once, more than twice. As the last church I covered, I was there, and Brother Ken goes to me, he calls me Saturday night, about the same time Roger did. Can you cover me? I'm not feeling good. Well, yeah, sure, I can do that. Well, where I went was Mount Zion, United Methodist. Anyhow, when I was there, and I was just sharing that with Ivy. I had looked at it, and, no problem. So I was the pastor. I was special music. I was Sunday school teacher at 10 o'clock. I was Sunday school superintendent. So I had a full plate. Did that worry me? Nope. Because you know why? I turned that worry over to God. I let God worry for me. You know, when you let worry take control of your life, you're adding a day to your life. Now, what do you say about that? Well, when you worry, you're adding another day to your life because while you are worrying, God's not worried. You know, that's the title of my message today. Gracious and Heavenly Father. That message that you gave me came to me within a half an hour of hearing the news. And dear Lord, let this message go forth to keep us from worrying about what life holds in store for us, but turn it all over to you. And you have your Bibles turn into Matthew chapter 6, verses 25. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? One cubit to his stature. Worrying. So, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his splendor, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not as much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek for, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, I was working with a Mennonite, and I told him, I said, I asked him a question, and I said, what do you think about next year? This was back in 84 and 85. What do you think about next year? He looked at me and he said, Steve, he goes, I only worry about one thing. I said, what's that? I live day by day. Day by day. He said, I don't worry about what tomorrow's going to bring, for tomorrow will come. But you live day by day. I looked at him and I said, well, that is a good way to live. You know, we can only live one day. You can't live 2 days in a row. Say, I want to live today and tomorrow the same day. Can't do it. Won't happen. Overcoming worry. David Jeremiah wrote down here, overcoming worry. Worry is inconsistent. In verse 6:25, it says, if we can trust Jesus to provide us with our life, can we not also trust him with our daily needs? Worry is irrational. It's verse chapter 6, verses 26. If the Lord cares for the birds, will he not also care for us? Since we are more valuable than the birds. You look at a sparrow, or look at an animal that, yeah, an animal that our pets, they got to be taken care of. That we know. God gave us that pet. But one day I was talking, my son goes, Dad, what about all these deer and these animals that are outside, these wild animals that are outside? Where do they go for shelter? You ever stop and think of that? But what's God do? God provides a covering for them. Why do you think an animal has fur? Stay warm. Stay hydrated. Stay cool. That's why I said to my boy, I said to Nathan, I said, don't worry about the animals. I said, only worry about the animals that you feed and that you take care of. Worry is ineffective. Verses 6:27, it says, who among us can add one cubic the length from the elbow to the tip of the middle finger to our stature by worrying? I never known anybody to add any kind of stature by worrying. I think it takes away from you more so than it does. Worrying is illogical. If God can clothe the lilies of the field, can he not also clothe us? How many ever seen a clover field or an alfalfa field or a field of wildflowers? What do they look like? How many seen a beautiful sunrise, beautiful sunset? How many can paint that picture better than God? No one. I don't care who you are. You can be the best artist around, but no one can paint that picture better than God can. That's why I say worry is illogical. Worry is irreligious. That's found in 31 and 32. When we say worry, when we worry, we act like those who do not know God, in this case, the Gentiles. Us all here are Gentiles. So therefore, when you worry about something, is it all right to worry? No. I put it this way. Something is bothering you, and you're worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. Turn it over to God. Let God take that care. Let God take that concern. Is it all right to have a concern for someone or a concern for others? Yes. God gives us that concern. If you see someone that's down and out and you say, well, I'm not worried about that guy. Let God worry about it. But God puts that in your heart, that concern in your heart. You better help that person out. That's what worrying, well, I'm not worried about him. I'm not supposed to worry about him. I'm not going to worry about him. God gives us that concern. Difference. Two differences there. Concern and worry. You're supposed to be concerned about one another. Don't ponder on it. Don't think, well, it's all right. We'll let somebody else worry about it. No. If it is concern that you have, it's all right because God knows it. But God will also know it before you know it. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. And I'm verses 27. Whatsoever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And whatever you hear in the ear, preach to the, on the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? There it goes to show you. Two sparrows are worth two coins, but God knows the best sparrow falls. God knows that. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. The problem is, people, they do not worry. They worry, but then they're going, well, yeah, but if I don't worry, then I'm going to start fearing. That's what I'm trying to get at. Fear and worry cover each other. Also, going back here to Luke, chapter 12, verses 6. And it says in there, Jesus teaches to fear God. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. There it goes to show you again. What worry can do brings on fear. But fear, you don't fear what God can do for you. Well, if I change my way of doing things, or if I change my way, well then I'm going to fear that I'm not going to be loved. Don't worry about that. Fear is one thing that can drive you to worry. Fear also can hurt you. But the fear of God is good. It says, do not fear, therefore you are more valuable. We are more valuable than anything that we have in possession. Because God gave you what you have today. Did he not? Yeah, we had to work for it. We had to earn the money. We had to do all that. But God still loved you. And reading on in Philippians, I'm going over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. I like what the one who wrote Philippians says about this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything for prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious for something. Okay, now I got another one in here that David put on here. It says, the truth about worry. Now, I want you to put yourself in these here. These are the facts about worry. 40% of things that people worry about, guess what? Never happen. They never happen. 30% of our worries are related to what happened in the past, which are now beyond our control. 12% of our worries have to do with our health, even when we are not actually ill. I know someone, and my wife knows who I'm talking about. She goes to my wife, and she said, "Mom, I got a pimple right here. I got a mole. Right. Do you don't think it's cancerous?" What's mom say? "No, don't worry about it." Am I right? Don't worry about it. Don't let your worry control your life. That I'm letting you. Do not let worry control your life. Well, I have a pimple here. What do you think? Don't let it control your life. God knows you have that pimple there. God knows you have that. The other week, I found out that I'm allergic to sulfur drugs because I'm taking an antibiotic because I had an eye infection. I had a bad cold in my eyes, and I was taking sulfur drugs. Well, it was a form of antibiotic. Anyhow, the other Saturday, I told my wife, I said, "Man, it looks like I got pimples all over." Well, here I broke out in a rash, and it was everywhere. I thought, wow. Well, I called my sister. She goes, "Stop taking what you're taking." Well, of course I did. And guess what? I didn't worry about it after that because they went away. And if they didn't, I'd still have them today. But I'm not going to worry about it. Also, 10% of our worries are about friends and neighbors, are not based on evidence or facts. 10% of us worry about our friends and neighbors are not based on evidence or fact. You worry about your neighbor. Yeah, it is all right to have a concern for your neighbor. It's all right to have a concern for your friend. But don't go and say, "Well, did you hear about this person? Oh, I'd be worried. I'd be worried sick." It's not your problem. Let it go. It is a concern, yeah. But don't go and spread the evidence or the facts unless you know the facts. Only 8% of our worries have some bias in reality, which means that over 90% of the things we worry about never happen. How many here today can say they never worried about anything? If you put your hand up, you're making yourself out of a liar. Because we all worry about sometimes the time. With that information in mind, try picturing a Christian prayer life in this way. The Christian prayer life is composed of three circles. The first, which is the worry circle, in which the word nothing is written because the Bible says, "Be anxious for nothing." The second prayer circle in the word everything written inside because the Bible says in everything, let your prayers be known to God. Why do you think we have anointing service? Why do you think it's to publicly acknowledge? But God already knew. He already knows what you do. It says also, in everything, let your prayers be known to God. The third is the Thanksgiving circle, which the word anything written inside, because the Bible says, be thankful for anything. When we live within those three circles, we overcome the stress that comes into our lives. The first circle is be anxious, the worry circle. And it says, in which nothing is written, because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. The second prayer circle, the word everything written inside, because the Bible says, in everything, let your prayers be known to God. And the third circle is Thanksgiving circle, which the word anything written inside, because the Bible says, be thankful for anything. When we live in them three circles in our lives, we live for Jesus Christ. Also, David Jeremiah, in closing, David Jeremiah, these are the cards that we came about. It says, slaying the giant of worry, I claim these scriptures to overcome worry. First is Psalms 43, verse 5. When, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him and help of his countenance and my God. Psalms 43, verse 5. And Psalms 55, verse 22, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Also, Matthew 6, verse 30. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye a little faith? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard you, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Also, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ Jesus. And the last one is 1 Peter, verse 5 to 7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your cares upon him. Don't worry about what's going to happen, because we cannot control what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, have concern for it, but don't let it bother you. Don't let it concern you. Don't let it worry you to the point where you get sick. How many here ever known somebody that worried that much and they got sick? Because they were worrying too much. I know people like that. My wife says, don't you worry about anything. No, I don't worry about anything. God will take care of it. I have a concern for it, yeah. But don't let it worry you. That's the problem today with today's society. They worry too much before they even need to think about it. One thing that is in closing is Philippians. It says the shoes and the boots, preparedness, usage, grips, holds firm ground. Armor location, feet. Arch enemy, anxiety. Enemies, worry, doubt, fear, hesitation, uncertainty, and troubles. Charge, when we have made peace with God and have the peace of God in our lives, we can hold our ground and overcome any assault of our enemy. And our enemy is Satan. Don't fear, because Satan will someday be destroyed. So I'm telling you today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, please find out who he is before it's too late. Because he is coming back. And I want everyone to walk the streets of gold with him someday. Let us bow our heads. Your gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the message that you laid on my heart. Let this message go forth that we too can stop worrying about what the future holds in our life. but put all our trust and hope and praise in you and you alone. For you are the one that's in control. We are not. But let us be the ones to share that light of the ones that are worrying about things. Let us be that light in that darkened path. Let us go forth today that we all may come to the saving grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen.